Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy radio show, live here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, and exclusively on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. We got an amazing show planned for you today, because one of the cool things of having a semi-popular podcast is having cool people join us on the Take It Easy podcast. And we've had some cool ones in the past. We've had a great conversation with a great writer named Dr. Brian King. He was absolutely fantastic. We've gotten to meet great people from the social media world, like our buddies Canadian Cutler and Hoodie Haskins, Sports Jokes and the account that runs that. We've gotten to meet tons of great people. But no person was cooler to meet than what we got last week from LeGarrette Blount. And for those of you who may not be familiar with LeGarrette Blount, LeGarrette was the 2015 NFL rushing touchdown champ, and he won three Super Bowls with the New England Patriots and Philadelphia Eagles in the mid-2010s. He rushed for 1,000 yards twice in his career, had an 11-year NFL career, recently retired, and in retirement, he has started this company, LG's Feel Good. And LG's Feel Good is a 100% organic, THC-free CBD oil company. LeGarrette and some people from Oregon and his NFL career have started this company, and you can check them out as well on socials at LG's Feel Good on Instagram if you're looking for one great way to check out them, which you can also do while you check out Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash and Take It Easy podcast and Comical Sports Memes on Instagram as well. Shamelessly plugging is my thing. So we're going to get to LeGarrette in a little bit, but first I want to tease that by talking a little NBA. And I feel like I've talked a lot of NBA very recently, and one of the things that has got me fascinated across the last day since we were here is the development in the Clippers-Mavericks series, because Luka, whom we talked about last Wednesday as saying was like the coming of age moment, Luka was going to run the NBA, et cetera, got hurt in games 3 and 4, made the series a little bit more interesting. And then we came back on Wednesday, looked around and kind of said, well, if Luka's not healthy, the Mavericks don't have any chance. And that's really unfortunate, because it looked like the Mavericks were in this position that they were. And so long live the Clipper curse, because Luka Doncic dropped 40 points in 3 quarters for the Dallas Mavericks, and it almost wasn't enough because he went 1 for 8 in the fourth quarter, and Kawhi Leonard got stuck on him, and Kawhi Leonard played excellent defense for the Los Angeles Clippers, and they went on a 9-0 run in like a minute to turn a 10-point lead into a 1-point lead, but they never scored again after that. It was a weird Nick Batum tip at one point and a Kawhi Leonard air ball and all kinds of craziness, and the Clippers end up faltering. And we'll be back next week, but I feel like this is a good time to talk about the Clipper blueprint, something that will probably come up on other podcasts like the Take It Easy podcast or our new DSD podcast, which we just dropped episode one. You can find everywhere that you get podcasts. The Clippers blueprint, I mean, this all comes down to Kawhi Leonard. So there are two scenarios that can diverge here. There is the Kawhi Leonard stays, and there's the Kawhi Leonard leaves. Kawhi Leonard leaves, you have to trade Paul George immediately. Or bust. If Kawhi Leonard leaves, you have to trade Paul George immediately to recoup the most possible value in exchange for him. You can also move around some of these guys who might hold value, whether that's, you know, Patrick Beverley still having some sort of trade value or Ivica Zubac, whatever it is. If Kawhi Leonard leaves, you tear the bleep to the ground. You tear it all to the ground. Now let's operate under the scenario where Kawhi Leonard goes back. Because Kawhi Leonard's decision to join the Clippers in the first place really felt like a good part of a lifestyle decision, and Kawhi Leonard wanting to live in Southern California and, you know, king of LA. And by the way, this is something I observed the other day. Like, it feels like Kawhi Leonard has more endorsements per capita than any NBA player at this point. Like, I feel like Kawhi Leonard has more TV endorsements than any NBA player right now, which I know is not the measure it used to be, because now there's all kinds of mediums and social media plays a lot into advertising, and all of those things are interesting, but Facebook and, you know, television ads are not as dependable as social media ads, which are even less dependable than, like, radio podcasts, which are even less dependable than newspapers in terms of actually delivering on the investment. And so Kawhi Leonard has a lot of these endorsement deals, and he's dropping albums with NBA Youngboy. So if that's what Kawhi is for, and Kawhi, basketball-wise, it makes no sense to stay in Los Angeles, where you have no method, where Paul George is your second-best player. And we talked about this before. Like, I think Paul George just got – the expectations were set too high on Paul George, because Paul George – has never quite been that player, except for that one season where he finished third in the MVP with a torn shoulder in OKC. Like, Paul George has never really been the guy who's like can give you 30 every single night. He can give you 30, but a lot of times there's going to be 15 and 20 point games mixed in. And so Paul George being your second best player and no path to getting a player better than Paul George leaves Kawhi Leonard in a position where it makes no basketball sense, even if the Clippers advance, no basketball sense for him to return to the Clippers when we're talking about a team where Paul George is guaranteed to be your second-best player, exiting his prime, and you have no path to getting another star player. Now, I really want to see him in Milwaukee, but that's another conversation for another day. If Kawhi Leonard returns and you look at the rest of the Clippers roster, the Clippers are looking at how can we upgrade the rest of the team so that we have a third best player better than Ivica Zubac. And there's not a lot of methodology. They gave up all their draft picks to get Paul George in the first place. They gave up Landry Shamet basically for nothing. They got Luke Kennard, who has given them nothing, and they gave him a long-term extension, which is really a sucking situation because you have Beverly making $13 million. And he's not playing in the playoffs anymore with good reason. Like, Beverly could not guard Luka. And Luke Kennard's making $16 million, and he's not playing. So that's $29 million down the drain. You're already operating under the loss of $29 million because you're not getting any production from that. You're also a team that has two max contracts, and that changes the math on the Clippers going forward in terms of how can we build within this small window of cap space that we have available to us? And this is the thing that a lot of rich owners fall into traps on, is navigating within the salary cap, is when your riches don't matter and you have to outmaneuver and out-navigate other teams. It happened with Prokhorov, who is the Russian oligarch who used to run the Nets, who orchestrated what was at the time the worst trade in NBA history that Brooklyn has recovered very nicely from, despite losing Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown for virtually nothing. 1 year of Paul Pierce, 2 years of Kevin Garnett, Thaddeus Young, which was then flipped into Caris LeVert, for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And so we look at the rest of the we look at Steve Ballmer, not the rest of the league. We look at Steve Ballmer, and Steve Ballmer is in this interesting position where he is happy to spend luxury tax all the way to the tippity-top most possible, and yet the Los Angeles Clippers still can't find themselves a position to financially succeed because within the financial ramifications of the NBA because of the Paul George contract, because of the Luke Kennard contract, because of Patrick Beverley, because of Marcus Morris. The Clippers are in a bit of a pickle. And if Kawhi Leonard is going to be back, and this is going to be the core of your team, and you have no real path to acquire a third star, you've just got to kind of tinker around the edges. So see if Patrick Beverley holds any trade value still. If he's a dead weight, he's a dead weight. You might just be better served hoping he can come back and give production next season. It's the same scenario that Boston is in right now with Kemba Walker, where if you're going to have to attach picks to move Kemba Walker, you're better off just keeping him and hoping that Kemba Walker can become the player that he once was. Same with Patrick Beverley. If it's Marcus Morris, who's making $16 million, and you can attach a deal to that, then maybe. Luke Kennard might be difficult because you might have to attach a young player or a pick to move him, and that's not something the Clippers can do right now because they lack young players and picks. So maybe tinker with the roster. Go look to see if you can sign an Evan Fournier. Look to see if you can sign maybe Kyle Lowry, but that one gets more complex because you'd have to trade Beverly and Morris to make that one happen. The Clippers can navigate this in an interesting way and go over the luxury tax because they have no problem spending in the luxury tax as Ballmer gets ready to fund a $2 billion stadium for the Los Angeles Clippers. You have a situation where the Clippers are right now, let's see, 100 and something million. So the Clippers are presently 36 over the cap. But in 2022-2023, the Clippers have practical salary cap of, let's see where they rank on here. The Clippers have a practical salary cap of about $30 million. So yes, they're going to have to move some things around and make some trades, and that might involve a Patrick Beverley move to try and bring in like a Kyle Lowry, and I think that's something that the Clippers really, really need right now. But if Kawhi Leonard's going to come back, there's not a great path for them unless someone actively decides, I want to go play with the Clippers like Jimmy Butler did when he said, I'm going to go play for the Miami Heat, let's make this work, and they traded Hassan Whiteside and Josh Richardson to make it happen. Unless someone actively says, I really want to go play for the Clippers, there's not a great path forward for the Clippers. And maybe part of it is like getting a Harrison Barnes type player or, you know, one of those guys from the Cleveland Cavaliers. But it's a really interesting situation that the Clippers find themselves in. And maybe, just maybe, trading Paul George is the solution. You can get some draft capital, trade him to the Boston Celtics, so you can trade him to the Boston Celtics, get Kemba Walker, get what was the trade I had this morning that people said was about 50-50 on it. So if you traded Paul George, you got Kemba Walker, Aaron Nesmith, Grant Williams, 2 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps for Paul George and Patrick Beverley. Maybe that's a rebuild type trade where Kawhi instantly becomes your best player, but Kawhi would probably be gone. So then Kemba becomes your best player, and the Clippers can rebuild a little bit. So maybe that's the answer for the Clippers, but this is a blueprint type moment. And once again, just like we were here a week and a half ago, last Wednesday, we have to start mentally preparing for the scenario where the Clippers lose to the Dallas Mavericks again, after mentally preparing, unmentally preparing, and being disappointed, to being back to mentally preparing for the Clippers to lose. All of that leading up to an epic Game 6 on Friday. Should be fun, and the series will end by the time we come back on Wednesday. Even by Wednesday, it might be old news because we'll be about two games deep into that Bucks and Nets series that's going to be absolutely epic. If you want some talk on that, check out The Take. It is a podcast, of course. So, with that being said, let's talk with 2005 NFL rushing touchdown champion, two-time 1,000-yard rusher, and three-time Super Bowl champion, LeGarrette Blount. And this is the full interview, and if you want another version of this, it is available on our Take It Easy podcast. So we'll be right back with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, let's go. Oh, my God. This is so exciting. What's up?
What's happening, bro?
Oh, my gosh. You have no idea how cool this is, man. We got not one, not two, three-time Super Bowl champ LeGarrette Blount in the house. Ooh, he's got one of the rings on, too. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Which one got there?
Come on.
Ooh, Eagles. Oh, my God. This is so cool, man. This is just so cool. Oh.
I appreciate y'all having me, bro.
Oh, I appreciate you offering here. So, by the way, LeGarrette is here right off the bat. Check out LG's Feel Good. You can see his T-shirt there. He's repping it. Check out his CBD oil brand, organic, THC-free. Follow them on Instagram. We got all those links to that in the description to today's episode. But just off the front end, like, tell me about the product. Like, why are you here today?
I'm here just to spread awareness about the brand, about the product, the different methods of being able to deal with pain, have different ways to deal with pain relief. And with our method, it is 100% THC-free. It's all organic. It's all natural. Medical-grade CBD, man, it's the best on the market.
Oof. Best on the market. All right. I'm sorry, bro. I can't stop staring at the Super Bowl ring, bro. That's so dope. Oh, my God. Oh, where do I want to start with that? I guess the Super Bowl, because this is the thing. You are a three-time Super Bowl champ, but you got to play in, like, the three best Super Bowls of the last decade. Like, you got Malcolm Butler game, you got 28-3, and you got the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, and you won all three of them. Like, I can't imagine how awesome that one had to be. The third one with the Eagles, that had to be. Because you guys didn't think, like, when Carson went down, like, y'all weren't believing as much, I'm guessing.
Oh, no, we believed the whole time. You know, we never wavered from it because it wasn't just him that won those games, you know what I'm saying? It was our, you know, top-of-the-line defense. It was our, you know, our rushing attack. You know, it was our receivers making plays on the balls, you know, even if they weren't good balls, you know. It was a lot of things that play a factor in you being a championship football team. You know, the quarterback isn't the only person that takes you there all the time. I know they're the ones that get all the credit, but they ain't the one that really take you all the way there because, you know, they have bad games as well. You know, Brady, he's going to always get the record. I mean, Let's not put him on there because he's a different animal.
Brady, because you got that front experience. And people talk about, like, so Brady kind of, like, acts like another dude in the locker room, and he'll, like, introduce you, like, hey, I'm Thomas. I hear stories about that all the time. So, like, do you have any fun experience with Brady, like, the first time you got to meet him?
The first time I got to meet him, the only thing that he really said to me was, hey, man, I know who you are. He's like, man, I'm excited to have you. Tom, obviously. And a little bit after that, as he got a little bit more comfortable around me, he started wearing the robe that got the TV on it like we didn't know who he was. Like, you know what I'm saying? So he's a good dude, though, man. He welcomed me with open arms, man. He's a great guy. I say one of the dopest experiences I've had with him is, you know, going to RK's house and having that, you know, barbecue and get together, you know, just shooting basketball with him and stuff like that. He's a pretty normal guy. He's down to earth. I haven't met anybody that don't like him besides, like, fans of other teams.
Yeah, or people where he ruined my childhood because I grew up a Chargers fan. But
okay, so,
I've come around on it, though. But can Brady hoop? I got a question about that. Can he hoop?
Yeah, Brady can hoop, man. I mean, he ain't no James Harden or, you know, Russell Westbrook or, you know, anybody like that. But, I mean, he got a nice shot. He can shoot the basketball. He was out there playing with Jordan. If Jordan picked him on the team, he could ball a little bit.
Okay.
he got a sniper, though. He can shoot.
That's cool, man.
He like Klay Thompson. He don't, you know, he'll be the guy that give you 60 points in 10 dribbles, you know.
So he's the guy who sits in the corner and he shoots the threes.
Yeah, he's a sharp shooter.
Oh, okay. Because that's interesting, because that's different than the Tom Brady you used to. How about you? How good's your game?
I'm nice on the court, man. I play in a couple leagues out here in Arizona. It ain't the best leagues, but, you know, just being athletic and being able to go out there and just, you know, play ball and, you know, put this weight on a couple of people it helps me out a lot. You know, I got a nice jumper.
Okay.
I can also sit in the corner and shoot some threes if they need me to. But I'm all over the perimeter with it. You know, I can go from you know, I'm all over the perimeter with it. I'm nice.
See, I imagine you like a PJ Tucker, like just a scrappy dude. He pulls up a few times. Like, you're happy to guard the biggest dude on the court. Like,
yeah, that's me. I guard whoever, all five.
See, I didn't know if I was just doing that because of your football career and just you being, like, the plunger who's, like, going to give you, like, 5 yards and just contact behind the line of scrimmage and still get you 5-10 yards. I don't know if I was doing that or what, but I imagine you as a scrappy dude out there.
Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get in there. I like being in the midst of the paint. I like doing all that. If I got to guard the biggest dude, I'm going to guard him. If I got to guard the best dude on the team, I'm going to guard him. I haven't had anybody really just cook me up like that. So I'm confident in my defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least I can live on that. I know a lot of the guys that say, you know, they're confident in their defense. Those are the guys that can't hoop. But I got an offensive game, too. I can shoot the rock.
But that's the thing. If you're confident in your defense, that usually means that you got to score most of your points within, like, 5 feet of the basket. I know that because
– Oh, yeah.
The small, scrappy dudes, they got to be good at defense, or they just say they're good at defense so that they don't get run off the court a little bit.
Right. I just go from the perimeter. I could dunk the rock. It don't matter. You know, I still got all that athleticism as of right now. I still have it. I don't know about, you know, 10 years down the line or, you know, 5 years down the road. But
no, you're
right
still
now,
young, man. You're still in your 30s, bro.
I just still dunk the rock. You know what I'm saying? I just still – Get up and over. If somebody tried me, I'm gonna dunk on them. You know, if they ain't, you know, 7 feet or 6'10", or, you know what I'm saying, like anything like that, I'm gonna catch a body.
You're gonna catch a body. How tall are you, by the way?
I'm like 6'3". They got me listed at like 6'1". You know, that's
that,
all.
Is
like,
that on purpose, or they just they
I
wanted?
Know, to I don't know. That's a good question because to me it seems like they list the shorter guys taller and the taller guys shorter because I want to say they got Kyler Murray listed at like 5'11 or 6 foot, and he's nowhere near that. Nor is Drew Brees. Drew Brees isn't 5'11, 6 foot. Like, these are really small, short guys. But, you know, I don't know the dynamic behind it. I don't know why they do it that way because there's a few guys. I know they got Gronk listed at like 6'4, 6'5, and he's every bit of like 6'6, 6'7.
Oh, damn.
They got some big guys out.
So Gronk's bigger than we think he is. The giant polar bear's even bigger than we all think he is.
Oh, yeah, he's big. He's a big guy. Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big dude.
Is it a thing with running backs, though? Because I feel like big running backs is generally better because I know, like, I mean, you were teammates. Weren't you teammates with Darren Sproles at the end there, or was he not on the team?
Yeah. He was with me at that the 1 year that I was in Philly, he was there. Yeah,
because I feel
he got hurt by week three or four when he broke the forearm and tore the ACL.
Okay, because this is tough with the Eagles running backs, because I know the year you were on the team, there was like six or seven of them, and then by the Super Bowl, you were plunging in the end zone. By the way, how cool was scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
I ain't gonna lie, man. That was the funnest Super Bowl I've been a part of. So, you know, that's the one that I hold closest to me, just because I balled out in that one.
Yeah, because that was the weird thing.
I was a little upset because Deuce ain't let me get the 100 yards that I wanted. But all in all, it was a fun game. I was 10 yards away. And we got some carries. Obviously, we wanted, you know, everybody to get a piece of the pie. So, you know, I had to split a little time with Jay. But I told Deuce, man, he should have gave me about three or four more carries so I could have got them that 100-yard game. That would have been dope to have a 100-yard game in the Super Bowl with a touchdown. That would have been awesome.
Because when you get to 100 yards, you can start getting closer to that Super Bowl MVP trophy. But you're right about that.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. You get
closer. I was dreaming about that. I was thinking about that. I was trying to manifest it.
To get to that just right. Because you were playing in the James White Super Bowl where, like, I think – James White had like 20 rushing yards, but he had like 120 receiving yards in that,
that
comeback.
Like, yeah,
he
catches. Yeah.
Because I remember everyone was saying he should have won MVP.
He had one touchdown rushing, and I think he had like one receiving. No, he might have had two touchdowns rushing. And like,
he had the game winner. I know that. I know he had the game winner.
So, yeah, he did. He had two touchdowns rushing, and he had about, I want to say between 12 and like 15 catches for like 120, 130. He went crazy. That's probably one of the best Super Bowl performances. Oh, no.
Okay.
I think that's one of the best Super Bowl performances in NFL history, hands down.
Talk about, because the MVP is always weird in the Super Bowls because they like give them a different, it's a lot of times quarterback is the default, but like, we look back in the performances we kind of remember, like Damian Williams a couple of years ago for the Chiefs, James White. I mean, obviously Malcolm with the
Julian,
game.
Julian Edelman.
Edelman too in there.
Yep.
He got got the MVP though, right? The Rams one.
They gave it to Tom, and Tom pretty much gave it to him.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, you know, I think Nick got it for us in Philly.
Yeah, that's right. Because that game was like 40 something to 30 something in the end. Like there was like six different people you could
hear, something like that. But we only won by like 8 points. I want to say 41 to 33 or something like that.
Because I remember this is so funny back then. Because I was watching that game and when Tom fumbled the ball, I can't remember who stripped it, but when he fumbled the ball at the end, I was like, oh shit, that never happens. That never happens at the end.
But I mean, and Philly, I feel like every team does this, but in Philly, they really, you know, hone in on, you know, when you get to the quarterback, try to get the ball out, you know, and so that was just, you know, if you look at all the D-line and the guys that blitz and rush tape, when you see them, one thing you'll always see them do is like that SWAT to get the ball out. So, you know, that paid dividends in the end.
Yeah, that was cool. And I know you're kind of like a football analyst of sorts, and there's not much that I can get from you, but I wanted to ask you about Carson. Like, how do you feel that that's going to go with the Colts next year and what Indy's trying to put together?
I think Carson, first of all, I think Carson is a great quarterback. I think that him going to Indy and being with Frank was probably the best thing for him in his career. Because obviously things weren't going too well in Philly. Things were starting to go a little bit in all kind of directions and spiraling a little bit, and he wasn't being as efficient or effective as he was in 2017 and all those things. So I think that him being over there with Frank, over there with the coach, I think that's probably the best thing that could have happened to him, because him and Frank are like this, and they always have been, you know, since 2017 when I was there, they were always, you know, joined at the hip.
Really?
And, yeah, they were really close. So I think that him going over there and being with Frank and, you know, obviously them getting them some kind of, you know, whatever weapons they had. And they were a good football team already last year with Phillip Rivers and stuff. But I think, you know, Carson brings a little bit more youth. You know,
and a little bit more athleticism than
Phillip, you know what I'm saying? And he's, you know, he has a stronger arm, and you know, he's just all around a better athlete than Phillip. You know, no hate against Phillip, because I like Phillip too, but he's just an all around better athlete, and you know, he can make, you know, every single throw, and he's strong, and he's fast enough to get away from trouble if he has to. I think that, you know, they put him in a great situation with Frank. I think they did the best that they could do for him.
That's interesting because, well, first of all, I'm happy to bring in the Phillip because, like I said, I grew up in San Diego. There were some tough ones in there. But, yeah, at the end, that man, there was one moment where Trey Burton carried a ball in on, like, a wildcat play. And I said, if they called that for Phillip Rivers, his knees would disintegrate on the field when they called the wildcat play. And so, anyways, I had to throw that in there real quick.
Phillip would have left his career. I mean – He's played for a long. Is he still playing?
No, he's retired now.
He's retired, right?
He's coaching high school football in Alabama now.
That's right. That's right. He is. I just saw that. How many years did he play? 15.
Drafted in 2004, but he sat his first season. So what? 2005 to 2020.
It's like 20.
16 years. 16. Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? I go out on a limb to say Phillip Rivers don't have, you know. I doubt he has 1,000 yards rushing in 16 years. That's a long time, like.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's, gosh, Phillip Rivers, because he's one of those old-school pocket passers that doesn't really exist
anymore.
Right,
he don't get a pot of.
And Carson, they might prototype Carson that way, because I don't know what the deal is with his back, but, like, they don't really exist anymore. The prototypical, like, the Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers guys are aging out of the sport at this point.
They are. Unless you look at somebody like Mac Jones as one of those guys, or you can't even really say Daniel Jones because, shoot, last year he broke like an 80 or 90-yard run.
Daniel Jones runs – I think he runs a 40, like just – I think he's second fastest quarterback in the 40 behind Lamar Jackson, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, so all these guys are, you know, dual-threat guys now. You know, you got your Mahomes, Lamar, Sean.
I could throw Jared Goff out there. Jared Goff still be sitting in the pocket
a little bit. Yeah, Goff's sitting in the pocket. Goff does sit in the pocket. He's one of those, you know, traditional pocket passer types.
Kirk Cousins got to be the best of the three.
A-Rod will get out of the pocket sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, even A-Rod will get out of trouble sometimes. So,
yeah, for sure.
And you're right, man. It's a dying breed now because you just got so many dual threat guys that can throw the ball just as well. And run it better, you know. So that's kind of what the league is leaning towards. Just like they're leaning when it comes to running backs, the league is leaning towards, you know, bigger, stockier guys that are running 4.4s. You know what I'm saying? You know, Derrick Henry and, you know, the Najee Harris. You know, those big guys that are, you know, running fast and still being physical. And
the defensive linemen are so much smaller now. Like, it's changing the game up because you don't have Dontari Poe anymore.
Nah, you don't got no Vince Wilfork. You know, you don't got no big guys that's gonna clog up the middle like that. So you know, and
you get
and
to play with Vince ever?
Smaller. You know, you don't have the 250s no more. 250, 245, 260 guys anymore. You know, they're now 215, 225, and they're. You know, and running 4.4s.
Sorry, you're frozen. Can you still hear me?
Move the stair.
Oh, there we go. We good. I was about to say, did you ever get to play with Vince Wilfork?
Yeah, I played with V. That's my guy.
I forgot his timelines. He's been out of the league a while now.
Yeah, he finished with the Texans. That was my guy. I love V. Like I was saying, man, even the linebackers, they've gotten, you know, 20 pounds, 30 pounds smaller. Now they're 220, 215, 225, and they're running 4.4s and 4.3s. I mean, I just seen a contest recently where Devin White raced against Mecole Hardman and guys like, I'm like, bro, these guys are running 4.2s. You got a linebacker in here. And
Devin White raced faster than Justin Jefferson, I think.
Yeah, he had the second fastest time out of behind Mecole Hardman. And I'm like, dang, bro, these are linebackers running this fast. So the game is definitely changing right before our eyes, that's for sure.
You change from the bruising backs like you. Those guys, they wear out, wearing out of the league a little quicker.
Right. So it's wear and tear over the course of time, you know, and you know, Derrick Henry will be one of those guys that are going to be that is going to last for a long time in the league. I think Le'Veon Bell is a little bit of a mixture of a bruiser and a scat back, because I've seen him be physical and I've seen him obviously break a lot of ankles. You know, these are the kind of backs. They're kind of like hybrids. You know what I'm saying? Like Dalvin Cook. You know what I'm saying? These guys everybody's trying to get to the guy that could play for three downs, you know, all three downs, not on switching and stuff like that. Kamara, you know, McCaffrey, these guys are three down backs that are going to not leave out of the league anytime soon. You know, you got your big guys like Fournette, that's just a straight pounder, you know what I'm saying? So you got still some of the guys with that aspect of the game and that kind of game, that approach to the game. And, you know, you got those guys that are hybrids like the Kamaras and the McCaffreys and the, you know, the guys like that.
Yeah, it makes life easier when you've got like 80 wide receivers who can be competent, and quarterbacks on those teams that you mentioned, like, well, not McCaffrey. McCaffrey's just gotten shitty luck with quarterbacks, but like with Kamara, with Dalvin Cook, you've got like capable quarterbacks who can hit these wide receivers and elevate them a little bit. So having that dude in there makes life so much easier.
It does, because then you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if he's going to run it or if he's going to run a route. You know, they can catch the ball as well. So, you know, one of my favorite backs, I can't know if he's going to get picked up or not. I don't really know what like kind of happened and what kind of like derailed him from like being like the top tier guy. But Le'Veon is probably one of the nicest backs, and I think he's one of the nicest backs in the league, hands down. I don't know what's going to come of his career, you know, in the future, but man, if you can get him on a team and you can get him, you know, through OTAs and training camps where he can learn the playbook and know how it goes and stuff like that, man, he's a game changer. You know, so is Saquon Barkley, who got injured last year, and, you know, the Giants season kind of went to crap after that. So you got
the
guys that,
and then kind of rebounded for some weird reason. They kind of turned it around right at the end. But still.
Right.
They had a shitty offense.
But that's Joe. You know, that's the head coach. Joe Judge bringing that New England way over there.
People started buying in right at the end when they're like, oh, we're actually pretty good on defense, even if
we got something here.
Yeah, they got something brewing. I don't know. I mean, they messed up on every first round pick, but. Oh, I'm happy to jump on the Le'Veon Bell train. I'm happy to like. Be the man who's like, let's get Le'Veon Bell into a job and into a position this year, because you got to play with him 1 year, right, when you were in Pittsburgh?
Well, I've seen him rush for 200 yards, and I've seen him potentially rush for 200 yards again. Like, he had the opportunity to rush for 200 yards three times in the season that I played with him, that one season. And I know I took some – because I said in one game he had over 200, and then one game he had probably like 180. But I got a lot of the carries. So he ended up with 180, and I think I ended up with like 110 or 115 or something like that. And another time where I seen the rush for like 160, 170 that he could have had a potential to it. Man, I'm telling you, he's probably one of the nicest backs that I've ever seen in person.
For sure, dude. For people who are like just getting into football, or maybe if they're listening and they're not big football people, like – prime Le'Veon Bell was cold, man. Like, he was cold, and he led the league in rush. Like, Todd Gurley had, like, 2 years, and Le'Veon Bell was still outproducing him. It was nuts to see that dude play.
And Le'Veon can line up at receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
He can literally run every route in the route too, bro. It's crazy. I've seen him do it. Like, I've seen him go to warm-ups with the receivers instead of the running backs. Like, I've seen them send him over, like, hey, Le'Veon, go over there with the receivers. And him run all of the routes the receivers run. It's crazy.
Dude, that is crazy. Because I'm imagining, like, him running, like, a flag route and just hitting him in the back corner of the end zone. Like,
yes,
Safety's not going to catch up to that.
If you go look at some of his highlights, they'll show you some of the catches he's made, like, some of the routes he's run. Like, it's so much of a disadvantage for him to run around out of the backfield with a linebacker guarding him. That'll never, ever happen. Like, he'll win 100% of his time.
For sure, dude. They said I had 20 minutes, and we got in 25, so I'm going to call it, bro. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, man. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for plugging the brand, bro. LG is still good. The best topical CBD that you can get on the market. Rollerball, patches, salve, the best you can get on the market. Soon to be introducing gummies and tinctures. So stay tuned. We will be back on here again if you allow us to.
Oh, my God. If you ever want to talk football, no questions asked. Come on, bro. This was so much fun. I'm so happy for this.
I appreciate it, bro. Thanks a lot for having me, bro.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks so much, LeGarrette. This was so much fun.
I appreciate it.
That was LeGarrette Blunt on the Take It Easy radio show. Thanks again to LeGarrette, and thanks again to LG's Feel Good for making this happen. It's his brand of 100% organic THC-free CBD oil. Check it out on social media for their website and for some cool content that they do. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in to the Take It Easy radio show here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. Take it easy, everybody. Talk to you again next week.